This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 372. So if you really want to be able to make reliable, predictable sales, and this is the important thing, reliable and predictable sales, so you know how much money you've got coming in each month, or you can predict how much money you're likely to have, or if you launch something new, how much money you're likely to generate, you need to be in people's inboxes, so you need to have an email list.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to build an engaged online audience. And as ever, I'm going to keep it really practical with lots of examples, lots of case studies, so that you can go and implement some of these things in your business today. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to let you know about something exciting. So as this episode goes live, so that's September 2019 if you're listening in the future, I have just officially launched my Build Your Online Audience program. As far as I'm aware, this is the only course out there in the world which is dedicated specifically to helping you build an online audience so you can make more sales in your business. So it takes you through step by step building your audience on social media, building your audience on a blog, or a vlog or a podcast if you have one, and the crucial element, which I'll talk about in this episode, building your audience through email marketing. And because building an audience takes time, there's also support in there to help you make sure that you've always got enough clients and customers while you're building your online audience. So if that sounds appealing, and if you're listening to this episode and you find yourself thinking, yes, I need help with many of these things that Janet's talking about, then do head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com. So that's buildyouronlineaudience.com, and you can be one of the first people to go through the course. It is a course, so you can work through it at your own pace. You can work through the tutorials, there's checklists and cheat sheets and swipe files to help you, but actually there's also a year's free implementation support with a weekly group coaching call with me. We've got a dedicated Facebook community and monthly masterclasses, so you don't have to do all of this on your own. So if that sounds of interest, then do head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com. And now on with the main part of the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to build an engaged online audience, and I'm going to be answering some of the questions that you have about building your online audience. So things like, when's the best time to start building your audience? What kind of size does your audience need to be, and what kind of content should you be creating for your audience? So I'll be answering those questions and also lots of others that you have about building an engaged online audience. So first off, what exactly is an online audience? Well, for me, your online audience is the people who engage with your content. So that might be your social media content. It might be a vlog or a podcast or a YouTube channel if you have one. It might be your email newsletter or any kind of email marketing that you do. So basically any content that you're putting out online, the people who engage with that, they are your online audience. So why do you need to build an online audience? Well, actually, you don't have to have an online audience at all. You can choose to market your business completely offline. If that suits you and if that's working for you, then great. But if you want to make sales online, if you want people to find you online, if you want to be able to sell your products and services through your website, if you don't want to have to be going out to networking meetings or meeting people in person, if you want to make those sales online, then you do need an online audience. You do need to be on social media. You do need to be putting some content online via your website. And you do need to be building an email list, and more about that as we go. So what kind of size does your audience need to be? Well, I wish that I could give you a definitive number. I wish I could say, if you're in this industry, if you have this type of business, you need this many people in your audience. But unfortunately, I can't, because it's based on your sales goals. But what I can tell you is this. The average conversion rate for online sales is just 1-2%. So what does that mean for you? Well, it means that for every 100 people in your audience, only a handful are going to buy from you. Most are either going to ignore you or they're going to say no to you. So it means you're going to need a much bigger audience than you probably think. Now, with certain products or services, or as you get more experience, you may find that you start to convert higher. So, for example, I have a media diary. It's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates, awareness days, and planning tools. And we generally convert at about 7% for the diary. But bear in mind that I've been selling it. This is my fourth year coming up now. I already have an audience. You'll probably find that when you first start out, your conversion rates will be lower and they will rise as you go. But what it really means is that whatever you're selling, you're likely to need a much bigger audience than you think. So just to give you an example, let's say that you're a coach or a consultant, you need 10 or 20 high ticket clients a year, then you might be able to get away with 1,000 or two in your audience. But if you've got a dream to sell an online membership program or an online course or some kind of digital product, and you want to be selling hundreds and hundreds of units, whatever it is that you sell, or you have a product like my diary and you want to sell hundreds or thousands, you're going to need a lot more people in your audience than that. You're going to need sort of 10,000 or beyond. If you want to do the numbers, I do have a resource to help you. So I've got an audience calculator, and if you tap into that, your audience size, so how many people you've got in your audience at the moment, and I'll talk more about what that actually means in a second, and how many units of whatever it is that you want to sell, it will give you a number of what you, a number, an audience size number basically. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/audience calculator. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/audience calculator, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. So how do you measure your audience numbers? Well, a big mistake people make around this is to think that their audience size is basically their social media followers. So you might think to yourself, well, you know, I've got 1,000 likes on my Facebook page. I've got 1,000 people following me on Instagram. I've got 500 people following me on Twitter. And I've got, I don't know, 10,000 connections on LinkedIn. And you might think, you know, brilliant, I've got, you know, 13,000. I think that's 13,000, probably added it up wrong. But I've got a lot of people in my audience. But actually, that isn't a real audience. They're just vanity metrics, really, because although you can make sales on social media, I mean, I do make sales on social media all the time, but they're not predictable sales. So I might have a conversation with somebody who's seen one of my social media posts, might have a conversation with them in the direct messages, and they might buy a playbook from me. So I have these playbooks, which are, I've got one on social media engagement, it's $9.99, and it's a downloadable PDF that helps people with social media engagement, got tons of examples in it. So, you know, I might sell something like that off the back of a conversation that I have on social media. Somebody might see one of my social media posts and they might decide to buy one of my courses. I might have a conversation with somebody online and they decide to come with one of my events, and that's all great and it is possible to make sales online, but it's very difficult to make the kind of sales where you can sit down every month and say, okay, well, we know that we're going to sell so many of this product on Twitter, we can reliably and predictably say that we're going to sell this many products on Facebook. It just doesn't work like that. And I'm pretty sure if you have tried to sell anything on social media, you'll know that it is possible, but that it's almost impossible to predict it because it's just kind of random. So if you really want to be able to make reliable, predictable sales, and this is the important thing, reliable and predictable sales, so you know how much money you've got coming in each month, or you can predict how much money you're likely to have, or if you launch something new, how much money you're likely to generate, you need to be in people's inboxes. So you need to have an email list. So actually, when we're talking about audience size, what I'm really talking about is email subscribers. Now, that's not to say that your social media followers aren't important. In fact, they're really, really, really important, because how do you get people on your email list? Well, you engage with them through social media, and you also engage with them, I'll talk more about this as we go, through your blog or a podcast or some kind of regular content that you put out there. But if you're just relying on social media, if you're just hoping that you can put some social media posts, and you'll know this probably if you've already tried it, and you're going to be able to make enough money to live on, or enough, you know, to create a profitable business just by posting on social media, I think it's pretty much impossible for most people. Now, over the past few years, I've been helping business owners to build online audiences. And when I first started, I used to try and get people to do everything at once. So I'd be getting them to build up their following on social media. And at the same time, I'd be getting them to launch a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel. And then I'd also be trying to get them to build their email list. And I found that even though I did it that way, I found that for most people, that was just too overwhelming, and they'd end up almost giving up because it it just felt too hard. So over the last few years, I've really changed my views about how to build your audience. And by the way, it takes at least a year to build an engaged online audience for most people, often longer. So now what I recommend people to do, and this is the journey that I take people through on my Build Your Online Audience program, is to start by building your audience on social media. So start by putting out content that appeals to your ideal customers or clients. Get good at doing that. Get good at starting to have conversations with them online and start to convert some of those conversations into sales. Then start publishing regular content on your website in the form of a blog or a vlog or a YouTube channel. And then that will help to attract people to your website. And then when you're attracting people to your website, you can then convert them into email subscribers. From there, you're converting them into buyers, you know, so you're helping people to make purchases from you. So although that sounds like a slightly longer journey, what I found over the last few years, if you can break it down like that, then people are much more likely to succeed. If you try and build your audience on social media at the same time, like madly blogging and trying to get people onto your email list, what often happens is that people get not only overwhelmed, but they get quite frustrated, because in order to get people on your email list in the first place, you need to have some kind of social media following. That's one of the main ways that you can get people onto your email list. And you need to be putting out some regular content. So if you're trying to desperately get people onto your email list, but actually you don't have many social media followers, you're not getting much engagement on social media, and you don't yet have a blog or a podcast or some kind of content that brings people to your website, you're going to find it really, really difficult to build your email list. So now how I work with people, I get them to start by building their audience on social media. So create really good quality content on there that engages their audience, start having really good conversations and actually, you know, converting people into customers. Then move on to your content marketing. So start by putting out some regular blog content, maybe a podcast or a YouTube channel, definitely not all three, but choose one of those. And then the next stage is building your email list and getting more subscribers onto your email list. And I find that people are much more successful. The success rate is much higher if people tackle it in that order. And of course, what some people, you know, depending on what their business is, some people are happy to be on social media. If it's a side business, if it's something that they're running alongside a full-time day job, or maybe they're a mum and they're running a small business alongside bringing up their kids, it might well be that the sales that they can make from social media, however random they are enough, and they're happy actually to build their audience on social media. But I think it's really important to tackle the process in that particular order. So if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, this seems so overwhelming because I don't have an email list, or I only have a very tiny email list at the moment, then please don't despair. It does take a good year for most people, often longer, to build an online audience. So what you're experiencing is not uncommon at all. I do have some resources to help you though. So if you're looking for help with building your email list, have a listen to 39 Surprisingly Easy Ways to Increase Your Email Subscribers. So that's episode 333, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then I've also got episode 335, How to Create a High Converting Lead Magnet. So this is designed to help you to basically get more people onto your email list, to create a lead magnet, a resource or a downloadable or something that will entice people to join your email list. And obviously once people are on your email list, then you can convert those into customers or clients. So another question I get asked a lot about audience building is, how do I find out where my ideal customers or clients are hanging out online, so I know which social media platforms I need to be on or which type of content I should be creating? So if you already have a small audience, if you're already active on one or two social media platforms, you can just ask them and find out a little bit more. So you might be engaging with them on Instagram, but you might learn that actually there's more of your ideal clients or customers hanging out on LinkedIn. So that might be one that you want to have a think about. And if you don't already have a big enough audience to do that, then just find 5 or 10 of your ideal customers or clients and just ask them. So just ask them, like, where do you spend time online? What are your favorite social media platforms? And then it's a case of just jumping onto those platforms, trying out some content, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, having conversations with people, and then you'll start to understand which is the best place for you to be. However, I would also add a note of caution here, is you don't need to be everywhere. So once you have an understanding of which platform or platforms, so I'd say two at the most, your ideal customers or clients are hanging out, then just spend time on those. It's much better to be good on one or two social media platforms than be mediocre on four. For me, and what I do, you know, I help people build online audiences, so I have to be across all platforms, but you don't have to. It's much better for you to be good on one or two. And then once you get good at those one or two, you can take what you've learned and it can usually be replicated on other platforms just with some slight changes. I mean, I pretty much have the same strategy for all of my social media platforms. But if you try to be everywhere, if you try to be on all platforms, you'll end up spreading yourself so thin. So just get good at one. Once that's working for you, maybe add another one, and you can possibly add more in the future. So how do you know what kind of content your audience wants to hear from you? Well, my answer to this would be just ask them. So if you already have a small audience, then just ask them, like, what are you struggling with right now? What do you need help with? I ask my audience that regularly, and that's where I come up with ideas for this podcast and blog posts that I create and my social media content as well. Again, if your business is quite new, just find 5 or 10 of your ideal customers or clients and ask them this really crucial question, like, what do you need help with right now? What are you struggling with? Now, if you have a service-based business, then you're probably going to find that quite easy, because like me, people will have lots of problems that you solve through your services. So for example, this podcast episode came out of a discussion that I had in my membership community, or in the Build Your Online Audience program, and I was asking members of that community what they struggled with audience building, or what questions they would have, because I was trying to create a page for my new website. I wanted to have a frequently asked question page. And as I looked at all the questions that they were adding to this post, I thought, actually, not only is that going to be great for my FAQ page, but I can also turn this into a podcast episode. In fact, I could probably turn some of their questions into an additional episode as well. So I could create one bumper episode where I answer all of their questions on audience building, and then some of the questions where I could go a little bit deeper, they could be additional episodes as well. So just ask your audience, what are you struggling with? What do you need help with? And that's usually the best place to start. Now, if you have a product-based business, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't really understand how that works. You know, say for example, you're a social media manager, I'm sure you're probably thinking, okay, well, I could do some content around how to get more followers on Instagram, how to create an Instagram story, how to use hashtags on Instagram. So you're probably already thinking, like, okay, well, I know how I solve problems for people. I know I can help. If you have a product-based business, it can sometimes be harder to get into this. But I have a product. Like, people often say to me, oh, I'm a product-based business owner, so I can't do this. Well, I have a product and I managed to do this. It is totally, totally possible. So I have this media diary. It's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates and awareness days in it, and it's basically a content planning toolkit. So when I'm thinking about creating content to promote my diary, I'm not thinking about putting out endless posts saying to people, buy my diary, because people quickly tune out of those kind of messages. What I'm thinking about is, what is the problem that my diary solves for people? Well, there's two main problems that my product solves for people. The first one is it helps people who can't think of ideas of what to post on social media, or what to post on their blog or in their podcast or on their YouTube channel. And it also helps people who struggle to be consistent with a plan, with a content plan. So people who struggle to come up with a posting schedule. So when I'm promoting my diary, when I'm thinking about content to help promote the diary, I create blog posts and podcast episodes which address the problem that my product solves. So for example, I'll create a number of blog posts on how to create a content schedule, or how to plan a week's worth of content or a month's worth of content, or I'll look at how to come up with ideas for your blog, or how to come up with ideas to post on social media. I've got tons of lead magnets on that, like 23 social media post ideas. I've got 31 post ideas for your Facebook group. So I'm constantly thinking about the problems that I'm solving for people and creating content that helps to solve those problems, so that when people do have a need for my product, for something like my diary, I'm top of mind. It's not to say that I don't ever post any promotional posts to tell people like what they can buy and where they can buy it, but if you're just posting that kind of stuff over and over again, people will quickly tune out of your message, I should say. So it's about thinking about how your product or service solves a problem for people, and that's the best place to start. And I really would recommend, if you're struggling to think of ideas that will engage your audience, just make a list of all the questions that you get asked all the time. So the things that I typically get asked are, how do I build my online audience? How do I get more social media followers? How do I get more people onto my email list? How do I create a really compelling lead magnet, a really compelling resource that will get people onto my email list? So when I'm creating content, both for my podcast, for my blog, but also just to post on social media, I'm just constantly thinking about how I can help people, how I can solve those problems for people. And if you can do that in your business, then you will never be short of content. And your audience, you'll really start to build a relationship with them. The other thing to think about as well is that people don't just want to hear about your business. People want to do business with people. So often when people are putting together content for their ideal customers or clients, they forget that if you just talk business all the time, basically, you can really turn people off. Like, people want to do business with people. They want to know about the person behind the business, which is why if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I don't just share things about my programs or my products. I share places that I've visited and places that I'm speaking. I share personal stuff. Like, over the last few years, I've done, I think it's 4 London marathons. I share a lot about that when I'm training for the marathon. I will sometimes share about things I've been up to, like, for example, my daughter does Irish dancing, and I sometimes share about when I've been off to competitions with her. And people do want to know the person behind the business. So when you are thinking about engaging your audience, yes, obviously tackle their questions and help them with the problems that they're having. And if you have a product-based business, remember that's about helping to address the problems that they're having that your product solves. And actually, I've got another example I'll share with you in just a second. But don't forget, when you're asking your audience what they want to hear from you, ask them about, you know, what things have I shared with you that you found interesting. I find often that people who follow me, and I've been doing a Facebook page engagement challenge where I've been helping business owners to improve the engagement on their Facebook page over a course of a week. There's been a little task for people to do every day, and some of the results have been phenomenal. Like, we've had people who've increased their reach and their engagement by like 3,200% and things like that. Just absolutely amazing. But one comment that really stuck out for me was that lots of people came up to me and said, I didn't realise that people were so interested in me as a person. And when I posted something personal about what I was up to, and this isn't about airing your dirty washing, by the way, or sharing all your personal family secrets, but, you know, for example, there's one client, I mentioned Irish dancing earlier, but this one person in my audience, I should say, not a client at the moment, who was posting about being an adult doing Irish dancing competitions. I was really compelled by that. I wanted to know more. And the number of people who've said to me this week, I was so surprised when I post something personal about something that I was doing in my spare time or an experience I'd had in my life. I was so surprised that actually people engage with that more than my business content. So when you are talking to your audience, or where you are talking about your ideal customers and clients, you know, make sure that you're always getting their feedback. And I know my audience tell me all the time that they love it when I share more personal content. In fact, I mean, it is kind of business related, but I was speaking at the Retain conference recently. It's a conference for membership site owners. And I met a couple of ladies at the conference, and if you're listening to the podcast now, hello, but I met a couple of ladies at the conference who run a membership community for choir leaders. And they were saying that they were finding it a bit challenging to get online and to do video. And they knew, because they were like choir teachers or choir leaders, that they should be online and that would be a great way to engage their audience. But they were a little bit scared of video. So I said to them, look, why don't we go and create a video now? Like, let's form a choir right now, because I like to sing. And so I grabbed a couple of people who I also knew enjoyed singing. We had a quick rehearsal. We did a performance of Let It Be. You might have seen this if you follow me on social media. And I posted it on my Facebook page, posted it on my Instagram stories. I had so many people having conversations with me about it. So yes, it was kind of business, but it was also kind of pleasure as well, because I like to sing. I also did karaoke over that time that I was there and shared some videos of me doing karaoke. And it's really interesting. I've just got a new person joined my Build Your Online Audience program, Jade Moon. So hello, Jade, I should say, if you're listening. And she said the reason that she joined was that she had seen that video, and for whatever reason that had kind of engaged her, and she thought it was fun, and she decided to come and work with me because of that video that she saw. So don't be afraid of personal content. And when you're talking to your audience about what they want to hear from you, just say to them, you know, when I posted about whatever, I got a lot more engagement. You know, these are the kind of things I've got ideas about posting. Would you be interested in hearing more about that? Let me know. And you'll probably be surprised that the personal stuff is often what people are more interested in. And I also mentioned I would give you another example, actually, if you have a product-based business. But I've got a client called Beth. She runs a business called Mama Life London, and she sells these branded t-shirts. And I've spoken about her quite a lot on the podcast. And what she does with her content, so she has a weekly YouTube video. She doesn't post endless videos about her t-shirts, come and buy my t-shirts, because people would switch off from that. Instead, she posts content about basically how to style yourself. So I first really got into her content even though she was a client, I was aware of what she was doing, but I first became a fan of her content when she posted a video about how to wear a sequin skirt. And I had a sequin skirt hanging up in my wardrobe. I hadn't ever worn it because I didn't really know what to wear it with. And then I watched this video where she was showing like how you could style it, basically with her t-shirts, of course, but she did show some other outfits. And I now follow her content for styling ideas. So she did a great one on how to wear a pleated skirt. And when I was buying a pleated skirt recently, a long pleated skirt, I had a look at her video to get some ideas for what I could wear it with. So think about the problem that your product solves. So if you make t-shirts, if you're solving a problem, you know, you're helping people to feel good about themselves and feel stylish. And if you can help them with that by suggesting outfit ideas and how they can put things together, which Beth does so well, and then people are much more likely to want to work with you. And it's a great way of talking about your products or services without actually ramming them down people's throats all the time. So that's how you find out what kind of content your audience want to hear from you. If you already have an audience, just keep talking to them. I do it all the time. You probably see on my Facebook page, if you follow me there, I'm always asking, like, these are my ideas for upcoming podcast episodes. Which of these do you like the most? Having a conversation all the time about what people want to hear from you. The other question I get asked a lot is, when is the right time to build my online audience? So I often find myself saying that it's never too early to start building your online audience. So when people are starting a business, they'll often say to me, well, I'm busy getting my business set up and getting my products and services all ready. So I think I'll worry about building my audience later. And I'm always kind of like, well, hang on, who are you going to sell these products or services to if you don't have any kind of audience? So it's never too early to start building your audience. However, it's never too late. Sometimes I get people who come to me and they say, well, you know, I've been in business for 5 or 10 years. I've mainly done business offline. I'd like to be able to attract more leads. And particularly this happens with coaches or consultants who are tired of traveling all around the place to deliver their coaching and consultancy. And they say, but you know, it's too late now, isn't it? It's never, ever too late to start building your audience. And if you've put it off, then today is the right time to start building your audience. In fact, the minute you've stopped listening to this podcast episode is the time to go out and start building your audience. Another question I get asked a lot, which is related to that, is I want to launch a specific thing. So I want to launch, often it's an online course or it's an online membership site, or it might be a book or a podcast or something like that. And people will say, when's the best time for me to build my audience for that? And people say, you know, should I launch my online course and then build an audience afterwards, or should I launch my book and then build an audience? And my answer to that is no, because who are you going to sell it to? And remember those figures that I gave you before. The average conversion rate for online sales is just 1-2%. So if you want to launch an online course and you want to sell it to hundreds of people, or you want to sell hundreds of a particular product, and you don't build your audience, you don't start building your social media following up, you don't start thinking about publishing content on your website, you don't start thinking about an email list, then when your product or service goes on sale, it's just going to bomb. You're just going to get crickets, because there's, you know, it's something to do with your product or service. It's not that it's a bad product or service, it's just that you don't have anyone out there to sell it to. The analogy I often give, it's like selling to an empty room. So people will show up online and they will launch a new product or service, and it's basically like they're standing in a chair in an empty room saying, buy my stuff, and there's nobody in the room because they haven't thought about the fact that they need to fill the room first, that they need to actually get people in the room who are going to be interested in that product or service. So if you are thinking about launching an online membership program, this is the most common question I get asked, and I do have a podcast episode on that, episode 339, how to build an audience for an online course and membership. I just had to squint then because I haven't got my glasses on. So you can have a listen to that. That's a specific episode all about that. But you really need to think about how many units of whatever it is that you want to sell. So if you want to sell 100 people onto an online course or membership, you're going to need quite a big audience, which is why I generally recommend that if you want to launch something like that, that you maybe start by selling a kind of mini or beta version of it with maybe 10 people on it or something like that, and you build up from there. It's the same with events as well. I've seen people, and I've seen it happen to somebody recently, where they will decide that they're going to put on a big event. It's the event they've always wanted to put on, and they're so excited about it, and they're going to sell hundreds of tickets. And then when they launch to crickets because they didn't think about building their audience first. So I can't say, you know, if you're going to launch an online course, you need to spend 6 months or 1 year building your audience. It really depends on the numbers that you want to reach. But do build your audience first, because if not, you'll find that you launch to crickets, because you'll have nobody to sell to. Another question I get asked a lot, but I've pretty much already covered it, is do I need to be active on every social media platform to make online sales? And it's tempting to think that you do. Like I say, get good on one platform, or at the most two platforms. Get really good at that. Get good at engaging people, understanding what content your audience want to see. Get good at having conversations with people online, and crucially converting people into customers. And then you can take what you've learned and move it onto additional platforms if you need to. But there is nothing wrong with just being on one platform. In fact, what I often say to people is, if you want to be on one or two platforms, but you don't want people to kind of rock up to Twitter or rock up to Instagram and look for you, and you're not there, you can set up an account, and you can get a designer, or you can do this yourself in a free design tool like Canva, and just set up a sign or a post that says, I mainly hang out on LinkedIn, or you'll find me over on Facebook. And so just direct people to the place. So if somebody does look you up online and finds you're not on Instagram, you do have an account, but just tell people where you hang out and they can follow you over to there. And the final question I get asked a lot, so people will say to me, well, Janet, you know, I get what you're saying about building an online audience. I understand that if I want to make sales, if I want to reach my sales targets, I need to have an audience of a certain time. But how do I actually build this audience? And how do I get more followers? Like, I understand that it's not about followers on social media, that it's about engagement and conversations. But actually, in order to have any people to have conversations at all, I need to get more followers. So I'm actually going to tackle that specific question in episode 373. So listen out for that one. I'm going to be talking about how to get more followers on any platform. But the crucial message is that you need to give it time. It takes a good year, at least for most people, if not longer, to build an online audience. And my recommended pathway will be to start by building your audience on social media. Start putting content out there, starting to understand what your audience actually wants to hear from you, starting to engage and have conversations. Then you can start to publish content on your website. And of course, then you've got people who are following you on social media who can also follow you over to your website to read your blog, to listen to your podcast, to watch your YouTube channel. And then when you're starting to get some traffic, you can start to build your email list and your email subscribers. That is going to be in the long term. And if we're talking about a business that's sustainable and online sales that are sustainable, that is the best pathway to take. If you do want to come and learn that with me rather than figuring it all out for yourself, if you want a pathway to follow, then you can come and join me in my Build Your Online Audience program, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. So if you want to let me know what you thought of this episode, if you've got any ideas for topics you'd like me to cover in future episodes, then do get in touch. My inbox is getting pretty busy these days, so come and find me on Instagram. I reckon that's the best place, at JanMurrayUK.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.